our chapter that we've been looking at, Leviticus chapter 23. Tonight we're going to look at verse 22, and I've titled the lesson tonight, Gleaning, and in parentheses, Grace to the Stranger. So look with me at this one verse, verse 22 of Leviticus 23. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So just a quick little review. We've looked at the first feasts already at the beginning of the spring of the year, right? We looked at four different feasts, but one of the feasts takes place within, you know, Passover and Unleavened Bread. They kind of at the same time. But Passover speaks to us of what? Prophetically, what does it speak to us of? Christ's what? Christ's death, right? Christ's sacrifice for us. He is our Passover lamb. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, prophetically, what does that speak to us about? Jesus' sinlessness, right? Because leaven in the Bible is a picture of sin, okay? And then we saw the Feast of First Fruits, okay? And what does that speak of? Christ's resurrection, right? He's the first one to rise from the dead. And then Pentecost, we looked at last week. Pentecost, what does that speak to us of? I can't hear you.
Giving of the Holy
Spirit. And it's also the birthday of the church. And the Jewish people also see it as the birthday of the giving of the law. Okay? So all of these, if you have your lesson one still with you, but the calendar is on there, and all of these take place in the spring of the year. And then after the spring of the year comes, of course, the summer, and in the summer, what goes on? This is what, there's really no feasts. But what do the people have to do?
Plant.
They have to go back and work and plant and labor and you know. So before we begin this lesson, though, because we saw a word in here that maybe you don't understand, we must explain what gleaning is, okay? And why God commanded Israel to do this, okay? Gleaning. We don't use that word too often today. And in modern day farming, it's probably not practiced, you know. But gleaning. To glean is to gather what the reapers leave behind. Okay? It's to gather what the reapers leave behind. It was a provision in the law that God gave for the poor, and you'll notice a word that we read here also at the end of verse 22, and the stranger. That word stranger means foreigner, okay? So, it was God's provision for the poor people and for the foreign people, okay, who were passing through, or who were, you know, living amongst Israel, but they were not native Israelis. Okay, Steve.
Isn't that what Ruth and her daughter?
Yep, Ruth gleaned. Yep, very good. Okay, but look at turn back just a couple of pages, Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, verse 9 and 10. Here's Moses instructing the people, God instructing the people through Moses. And when ye reap the harvest of your land. Thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. And notice who gives this command. I am the Lord your God, right? So when you drop something, when, you know, don't go back for it. Don't take every grape off the vine. Steve had mentioned Ruth. Boaz, what did Boaz tell his reapers? You know, hey, drop some stuff on the ground on purpose, some little extra for her, okay? But understand something. Is it a sin to be poor? No. Okay. Is it a sin to be lazy? Yes. Okay. So what did God set up for the poor and the stranger? I like to call this not God's welfare, God's workfare, right? Here's food. But you have to get it, right? You know, here's provision, but come and get it. You know, we've become a society with its hand out, you know, fill my hand, you know, rather than come, okay? And notice also, this is God giving a command. This is people taking care of people, okay? It's not a government program, not to get too political. But look at Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy 24. Same thing, talking about gleaning. Deuteronomy 24, verse 19. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgotten the sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of the vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. So what is God telling them? Remember, you were a slave. You were a stranger in a foreign land. Remember what it's like. That wasn't very nice. And make provision for them. Okay? So the feasts we have seen so far take place in the spring of the year. And the next three we'll see take place in the fall. So what happened in the summer? Well, the labor of caring, watering, weeding, waiting, and harvesting, okay? And what can we learn from this one verse, and why is it placed in this chapter, okay? So what we see here is God's gracious provision for the poor and the stranger. What have we seen? Who do these feasts apply to? What nation? Israel, okay? Here's grace for the people who aren't of Israel, okay? And we're going to hopefully be able to develop this and see what God intended for Israel to do, but what Israel didn't do, okay? But here is God's gracious provision for the poor and the stranger. God blessed Israel with abundance to share with others. Genesis 49. Jacob is on his deathbed. He is blessing his children. And in Genesis 49, verse 22, the Bible says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Okay? So what do we see here? We see bounty for others. And who is this talking about? Joseph. And what in particular about Joseph? There were 7 years of plenty, right? And then 7 years of want. And in gathering all the plenty, what was Egypt able to do through Joseph? save the then known world. Okay? But notice the mention of the fruit branches going over the wall. Okay? Beyond your borders. Look at Deuteronomy 15. God blessed Israel with abundance to share with others. God blessed Israel with abundance to share with others. God tells the people of Israel, the second generation born in the wilderness, the ones who were born, remember they were entering the land, and some of them, those under 20, right, were going to go, but those over 20 couldn't go. So Moses repeats the law, and he says in verse 11, "For the poor shall never cease out of the land. A fact of life is there are poor people." Okay? So what do we do for the poor people? "Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to the needy in the land." Okay? Whose responsibility is it to take care of the poor?
Everyone.
Us. Not, government programs, It's up to us to take care, Government has gotten far too big. And what happens when government gets too big? Taxes get too high. And what happens when taxes get too high? We don't have an abundance to give to other people, so it's a wicked cycle. And God's program works much better. Okay? If you're blessed by God, open your hands wide to other people, right? Share with them. Did you have a question, Martha?
Yeah. I noticed lately, like this year, a lot of homeless driving out, walking.
Yep, they're everywhere.
Breaks
your heart. Yep, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So here is God's gracious provision for the poor and the stranger. God blessed Israel with abundance so that they could share with others. Israel was to remember that they were once strangers. Exodus 23. Exodus 23, verse 9, the Bible says, "Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt." You know what it's like to be far from home. You know what it's like to be a foreigner in a foreign land. So what should you not do? Don't oppress the stranger. Okay? Look at Deuteronomy again. God, Moses telling the second generation. Deuteronomy 10, verse 19. "Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." What did God tell them right here to do? Love them. Okay? When we come to Jesus' time in first century Judaism, how did the Jewish people, what did they think of the Gentiles? Hatred. Right? They forgot. Okay? Along the way they forgot, and they got into the position they were in because they forgot a lot of what God told them. Okay? So, God blessed Israel with abundance so that they could share with others. Israel was to remember to love the stranger, the foreigner, because they were once foreigners. Therefore, Israel was always supposed to be a light or a witness to the Gentiles. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the
Gentiles,
to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So he's not talking about going in the jail here, but he's talking about people who are imprisoned by their dead false religions. You're a light, Israel. You know the true God. You know the Creator. I've blessed you. I've brought you out of a foreign land into this land so that you can be a light and a blessing to the Gentiles. 49, Isaiah. Isaiah 49, verse 6. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Boy, oh boy, that sounds kind of like Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Doesn't that kind of sound like a great commission? It was. Israel was to be a witness to all the nations around them. Look at Luke 2. Jesus is born. It's time for them to go into the temple to perform all things to the law, according to the law for Jesus. Mary's cleansing, Jesus' redemption. And they get into the temple, and here comes this old man named Simeon. And he takes Jesus in his arms. And can you just see this scene? What a beautiful picture that would make. This old Jewish man holding this little baby up in the sky and saying these words, verse 28. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the faces of all people, a light, to what? Light in the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Sounds very similar to what Isaiah said. And then look at what Paul says about us, you and me. I don't think anybody here is Jewish. Look what Paul says in Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Okay? Unfortunately, Israel as a nation did not love the stranger. They even forgot the poor. Not all of them. Boaz was a perfect example of this, right? And Boaz helped Ruth and Naomi, and even wound up getting a wife for being faithful. And in getting that wife became the great-grandfather of the second king of Israel. And so, you know, this is what God wanted to do with Israel. He wanted to bless them so that they could bless the world, right? Mm-hmm. But Then the church came, thank the Lord. And then Peter used the keys, and he led Cornelius to the Lord. He used the keys to open the door to the Gentiles, and Paul came and drove a bulldozer through the door, and, you know, just many, many, many Gentiles came to the Lord. Thank the Lord. Okay? What was God's program? Even though Israel is his chosen nation, what was God's program always involved? What did God's program always involve? The saving of the Gentiles. Right? The saving of the Gentiles. So, here is God's gracious provision for the poor and the stranger. God blessed Israel with abundance to share with others. Israel was to remember that they were once strangers. Therefore, Israel was always supposed to be a light or a witness to the Gentiles. So, this summer season now, right? The first feasts have taken place in the spring. The remaining feasts will take place in the fall. We've got this summer season, okay? The first feasts look at and remind us of Christ's first advent, right? Passover, his sacrifice, unleavened bread, his sinless life amongst us, first fruits, his resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascends back to heaven, the Holy Spirit comes. First advent. The second set of feasts take place in the fall. And the first one we will see is trumpets. What's next on God's timetable? The trumpet of the Lord, right? The rapture of the church. So what about now? Verse 22. It's the summer, right? It's the summer season. The summer was the time for labor. What did we just sing? Work for the night's coming, right? Jesus hasn't come yet, so what should we be doing? Working. And look at the parable in Matthew 20. Matthew 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into the vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, now don't think little copper penny, okay? This is a Roman denarii, and it was equivalent to a day's wage, okay? So this was the common man's daily wage, okay? It wasn't a cheap guy that only gave him 1 cent, okay? But it was a common day's wage, okay? So when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour, 9 o'clock, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out again about the sixth hour, noon, and the ninth hour, 3, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? They say unto him, because no man has hired us. He said unto them, go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, then ye shall receive. So when even was come, 6 o'clock, the 12th hour, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. They received the whole day's wage, even though they only worked for an hour. But when the first came, they supposed that they would have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when he had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these that have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. So they worked all day, right? All day long. They worked through the heat of the day. And he answered unto them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a day's wage? Take that is thine and go thy way, and I will give unto the last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. So what do we see here? We see, first off, the principle of laboring for the Lord, right? And the principle of, you know, maybe some get saved earlier in life. Some get saved later in life. Maybe some get saved, and early on in the history of the church, and then some late, right? But what's the reward for everybody? The same, right? You know, we're all going to heaven. We're all going to be with Jesus. We all receive, you know, and we shouldn't be worried about, here's what we should not be worried about. Well, how come he got the same as me? You know, we should be thankful that we get to labor, right? And there's lots of Bible verses. We're not going to look at all of them, but there's lots of Bible verses that compare the kingdom of heaven with a vineyard, right? Or a field, you know, and wheat and tares and all of this. So this all makes sense. So right now in the summer, what should we be doing? Laboring in the vineyard. Offering grace to the stranger. Offering grace to the poor. Right? The poor and needy. And not only poor and needy who are poor physically, but spiritually. Right? A lot of poor people spiritually. They're bankrupt spiritually. And giving God's grace. Well, so how is this fulfilled? We saw the fulfillment of the Passover in Jesus' death for us. We saw the fulfillment of the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the fulfillment of Christ's sinless life. We saw the fulfillment of the Feast of First Fruits, the waving of the sheaf in Christ being the first to raise from the dead in a glorified body, never to die again. And we saw the fulfillment of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and the church was born. Okay? So what's the fulfillment of this one little verse that's stuck in the middle that really isn't a feast? You and I are the fulfillment of that. Okay? The fulfillment. This verse about the harvest and gleaning speaks to us of the time between the first and second advents of the Lord Jesus. Okay? First advent. Second advent is coming, and we're gonna learn, you know, what the Feast of Trumpets is, you know? And we're going to learn about the Day of Atonement. Ooh, what does the most solemn day in Israel's calendar, what does that mean? And then we'll learn about the Feast of Tabernacles, where God will tabernacle with men again. You know, these all have to do with his second advent. So God is calling out from the Gentiles, strangers, a people for himself. Look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Now, we don't have time to read the whole chapter, but of course, Acts chapter 10 is Cornelius coming to the Lord. God had to work in Peter's heart, right? Because Peter was a Jewish man, and God was about to do something that he always intended to do, and that was save a Gentile. But because the Jewish people totally misunderstood everything, and the world that Peter is born into, you know, we don't like Gentiles. So God had to work in Peter's, remember the vision of the unclean, rise, Peter, eat, kill and eat. I've never eaten anything unclean. Happens three times. God says, don't ever call anything I've called clean, unclean. And in the meantime, God's working in Cornelius's heart, an Italian, a Gentile, a devout man who wants to know more about God. And God tells Cornelius, go to this house and ask for Peter. So God works in these two lives. Peter comes. Peter preaches the gospel to Cornelius and his house, Gentiles. And notice what it says in verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, what words? The gospel. He's preaching the gospel. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. So the Jewish people that were there were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. Grace to the stranger. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Go to the next chapter, 11, and look at verse 17 and 18. So Peter gets himself in a little bit of trouble. He goes back and the people say, "We heard that you were eating with Gentiles." Peter says in verse 17, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Grace to the stranger. And what we call this age is the dispensation of grace. Look at Ephesians 2. What is grace? Definition of grace: God's unmerited favor, right? God giving to us what we do not deserve. What is that? Salvation, right? Acts chapter 2, verse 11. "Wherefore remember," now he's writing to the church at Ephesus, which is predominantly a Gentile church. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ." What was the problem with being a Gentile? No Messiah. Right? What did God intend for Israel to be? A light to the Gentiles, right? You were without. "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." Aliens, strangers, foreigners. What do we call people who enter the country illegally? Illegal aliens, okay? Greek here, aliens is used in the English translation, Old Testament. The English that's used is stranger, same thing. We were strangers. We were aliens. We were outside the commonwealth of Israel. We had no hope. We had no Messiah. We had no covenants. We were without God in the world. But now, you love the word "but" in the Bible sometimes, "but God" or "but now." "In Christ, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And he, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you that were afar off and to them that were nigh." So Jesus came, yes, for the nation of Israel, but he also came for the Gentiles. Israel, God made provision even in the Old Testament for the Gentile. We do see a few Gentiles in the Old Testament getting saved. Rahab, Ruth, you know, there are a few here and there. Nebuchadnezzar, I believe, got saved, you know, and maybe Nahum. But, you know, so here are these people. And then look at chapter 3, verse 1. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye had heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Now that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So God had always intended to save the Gentiles. And it's prophesied here, grace for the strangers. So this verse speaks to us of the summer work and labor in the Lord's vineyard as we share of God's grace to the stranger and the poor as we await the Lord's return. One little verse, but very important verse. Okay? Thoughts, questions, comments? Yes, ma'am.
Are we like in an age now when the Gentiles are the light to the Jews?
Are we in the time now when the Gentiles are a light to the Jews? It's kind of backwards. The church is. I mean, the church is made up of Jews and Gentiles. It's predominantly Gentile, right? But God now is working through his church, us, right? In this dispensation of grace, this church age. And he's working through us. And if a Jewish person gets saved and a Gentile person gets saved, they're one in Christ. That division that separated them for so long no longer is. So the gospel is, Romans 1:16, to the Jew first. And yet it's kind of switched around from what it was in the Old Testament. You know, he's still the Jewish Messiah. He's our Messiah. But he's also the Messiah for the Gentile. So, yeah. So, good. Good observation. Okay? Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Not a question, but I just think it's very relevant right now. We have our evangelistic services coming up in just a couple of weeks. So, you know, this is a great reminder, you know, that we... this is an opportunity to be a light to those around us.
Yep. Very good. Good. Okay.
Was Simeon and or Anna and Shane?
I don't know.
What
I don't know.
Fit?
Huh?
It's from what I've been learning, it didn't fit.
Yep. I mean, they were definitely godly, waiting for the consolation of Israel. I would put them in the category of John the Baptist's father and Elizabeth, right? Zacharias and Elizabeth. I put him in the category of Mary and Joseph, you know, and, you know, waiting, you know. But what must that have been like, you know, and then, you know, little young Mary pondering all these things in her heart. Why did these shepherds come the night he was born? Why did these guys travel from the Far East to visit my son? Why did this old guy take my son and pick him up and pray this prayer? You know, Mary pondered all these things in her heart. You know, I think she knew some, but like so many, she didn't know everything. And she was responding to the light that she had as well and the new light that was given to her. Okay? Andy's on a seeing kick here lately. So yeah. All right. Oh, go ahead. Could be. I mean, you know, we know they were historically, you know, around that time. We know that they were biblically not mentioned too often, but you know, they were very relevant people, and especially when the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, it really opened up much more history about them. Okay?
It seems like there were two groups of Jews at the time. There were Jews that were enlightened and understood the scriptures, and then there was the religious.
Mm-hmm. Right. These people I'm sure there were secular people. But Isaiah, Jesus even said, you folks, you draw near me with your lips, but your heart is so far from me.
Yeah.
Okay.